Welcome to Studio Within Podcast. I'm Sarah. I'm the founder of With Sarah Wellbeing Platform and a professional model. After a decade-long career working with incredible designers and clients in the fashion world's capitals, I turned into a passionate positive psychology practitioner. My experience has made it clear that happiness does not come from fame, money, and thousands of followers on Instagram. It comes from within. In this podcast, we will talk about what it means to be authentic. We'll share success moments and setback stories. We'll also discover how positive psychology tools can help you thrive. I'll share some practical steps so that you can put the science of well-being into action in your life. Sometimes it's just me chatting with you like this, and at times I'll bring in guests who really inspire me, both from the worlds of high fashion and positive psychology. I hope that my show will leave you energized and inspired to own your own story, create the life you want to live, and have some fun while creating it. Let's get thriving, shall we? Welcome back to the land of inner glow. Okay, this was a really out of the blue description of Studio Within, but to be honest, this is a land of inner glow. And we indeed are glowing here today, as I've just had a beautiful conversation with Finnish-Russian actress Alina Tomnikov. So who is Alina Tomnikov? Alina is an internationally recognized Finnish-Russian actress based in Helsinki, Finland. After graduating from the Theatre Academy of Helsinki in 2013, Alina has worked on numerous film and TV productions in Finland, Russia, and more recently in Europe. She has also worked in the Finnish National Theatre. Currently, she is writing her first fiction novel for Otava. And the next spring, Alina can be seen playing the female lead in the International Sky original series Paradiso, alongside, excuse my pronunciation, Albert Skuk, Fredrik Mücke, and Anne Rattepol. The 8-part series is based on Thomas Pletzinger's novel Funeral for a Dog. It was filmed in Italy, Germany, Bulgaria, New York, and Cuba, and it will be released this spring. So next to all this, she recently also finished shooting her next Finnish feature film, directed by Pamela Tola, where Alina has indeed a leading role. Now, I didn't know Alina personally before this conversation, but funnily, I felt like I had known her for a while. It was beautiful encounter, a beautiful conversation. I'm so grateful Alina was here. Now, this conversation is very calm and reflective. I love that about this. Alina shares how she became an actress, how she, in her own words, understood life when she was on stage performing. From there, we move on to discuss what has been hard in her work as an actress, mentally, especially speaking, and how she has coped with, for example, nervousness, decision-making, and finding her own voice. Oh, there's just so many beautiful gems in this conversation. So I wanted to interview an actress, especially Alina, for the show because I wanted to understand what type of experiences actors have in dealing with mentally part of their job, right? It's very similar from the fashion world. That's what I assumed. So I wanted to understand whether my experiences and the experiences of models were a little bit similar, perhaps to actors. What kind of mental challenges Alina had faced in her own experience. So I can't be more grateful for Alina for being so open to share her experience with us. And what I want to say, by the way, for you guys, we had this chat just before Christmas. So we will mention the end of the year and the beginning of the new year. And I'm kind of asking Alina to reflect back on 2021. Yeah, I had to think for a while. What year was it? So just that you know the timeline, there are some Christmas comments as well. So you know that this was just before Christmas we recorded this episode. So now get yourself a cup of coffee, sit back and really relax and tune into, that sounded like an airplane, by the way. Oops. Anyway, so the point is, get yourself in a beautiful, cozy corner of your house, of your home, or if you're walking, really take the scenic route and get inside this conversation where Alina so beautifully articulates her stories of becoming an actress, how her year was. And yeah, you will really get into her stories as you get yourself into that cozy little corner or bubble in your environment. Enjoy it. Alina, what a joy to see you in front of me and to really have this conversation about mental well-being, entertainment industry. And I'm just honestly super excited to hear your experience and your thoughts, your personal experiences and thoughts about, you know, I think this quite meaningful topic, you know, how can we cope well and how can we stay sane mentally in this type of work that we do? And the other part that I'm really excited about is that you are my very first actress in the show, and I get to experience your wisdom and your thoughts. So I'm super grateful to have you here. So warmest welcome to Studio Within Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's very nice being here together with you. I think this is the first time that we see really each other kind of live. So, and I've been listening to your podcast and it's very nice. So it's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you for making time. And I know you've been super busy lately. And yeah, I mean, I think I have just so many questions, and I was thinking like, okay, I usually don't make notes or any, you know, preparation or questions. And I was like, you know what, where do I want to even start with you? Like, there's so many things I want to dive deep into with you. And I decided to start somewhere a little bit random because I've been quite in a reflective mode. You know, the year is coming to an end, the new year is starting. So I was just curious, you know, if you are thinking about your year, this year, 2021, that just is soon over, how would you describe your year in one word, in one sentence? What do you, if you look back to this year, like, how do you feel? Like, what do you see?
I think it was insane. I mean, in the beginning of this year, I don't even remember. I think I was at home here in Helsinki, but then I flew to Bulgaria, and I was doing a leading female role in one Sky original 8-part drama series. And then we were shooting in Bulgaria, and then we had COVID issues, and two my closest co-actors got infected, and then the director, and then I was 2 weeks in one hotel room, 604, I think. And then I got back home, and then I was here, and then everything went okay, and then we could continue in Bulgaria. And then I flew to Cuba for 2 months for this same series, and it was just such an experience. I've never been to Cuba, and during this time it was even more kind of, on the other hand, very warm, and people were very welcome, and this special time brought everybody together. And at the same time, it was a very long time for me also to be away from home, and I fell in love to horizon. My husband also, he always says that never miss a sunset, blah blah blah, and it pisses me off. Sunset, what does it mean? But really, there in Cuba, I really fell in love with the sunsets and this kind of maybe appreciation for a little bit quiet time or just watch the horizon and thinking that there somewhere is home, and also here is good and everything is okay. And yes, and then from there we flew to New York. I've never been to New York, and it was, everything was suddenly open there. And also I was just a tourist. At the first, we had 2 weeks of preparation time, but I didn't have, I only had one fitting and one rehearsal, and that was it. So I had basically 2 weeks just free time, and it was amazing, this time there, kind of alone also, because we were shooting this series 11 months, and there was a couple of breaks that I could come home, but still it was very long time. And this project, the people became very like a family for me. And suddenly there in New York, everybody went their own ways, and it was weird, but at the same time, yeah, weird and a little bit kind of sad. And I also knew that this is the last shooting place, and it will come to an end, this shooting part. But at the same time, it was also very good kind of siirtymä, like
like transition. Yeah.
And then to make a rap there in New York, and then because the core team was from Germany, it was a German production, so everybody flew to Germany, and then I was maybe 3 hours alone there in New York, but still. And then I flew here, and then summer came, and then during the summer, also I had a couple of colliding works that, and I ended up in a situation that I can't do everything, and then it was very hard for me to choose or to hear what I really, really want, because there wasn't a possibility that I could do two shows at the same time. And then it was only 1 week, this period that I needed to make decisions, and then, but it was very hard, and I think I lost my own voice in this collision of many voices. And also I think I didn't kind of believe that, or I didn't understand that what really quite a long and big and intensive work I've done, and maybe I just wanted to or not wanted but needed to just, I don't know, swim or be naked in a lake. I don't know. I'm never naked in a lake, but this came to me. Well, or do something, but still and it was I don't remember summer so much, but I think it went, and then I started doing another project, here we are now.
Wow, I've just went through a trip with you. I feel like you just articulated so beautifully. I mean, all the way from Bulgaria to Cuba, through the horizons to New York, and then summer in Finland, through up and downs. I mean, yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, it's really... it's a magic of kind of, I've been thinking a lot lately that it's kind of this ability to let go is mm-hmm. at the same time that for me, it's sometimes very hard when I do, for example, an audition, self-tape is an online casting, basically, or when I'm invited to a casting live, it's sometimes when the pressure on myself that, or the role or the project or the co-actors or the director is very interesting. And I really, really would love to do this thing. And then you go there and you do your best. And you, even though it doesn't seem like that, you open yourself and you try your best. And then what you can do is kind of just try to enjoy on that moment and to be, yeah, and have a joy of that, that this is either 5 minutes or 1 hour or 3 hours more to do this, what you love. And then you go home and that's it. And it's kind of the power, or that you need to let go. You did what you did, but sometimes I end up thinking that why didn't I do like that? Why should I shouldn't? Why did I say that? And I needed to maybe make more sexy. Why did I make it more intelligent way? Or and this is my big learning process, I think.
Wow, thank you for describing that. I mean, ability to let go. I think what you just said is probably the number one thing that I also personally had to learn. Like, you have this amazing opportunity, and you described it so well that it might be 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 1 hour, 3 hours, whatever it is. I mean, for us in the fashion world as a model, the castings are very, very short usually. So that intensity is like built upon, like you're running around to the castings and then you go put yourself out in there and then boom, you go, okay, bye. Okay. So is it happening? No, no one can give you answer. And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And that, those are the moments where I wished earlier I had already the tools to, okay, how can I just let go, you know, letting go, breathing in and letting go. I mean, it is one of those learning, like I'm still learning it. I think we all are, you know, if we are working with our full bodies and souls and hearts, and we put so much effort into things. So I think that's a big learning. But before we go into more learnings, I really want to get to know you. And I'm sure many people want to get to know you. What's your story to acting? How did you become an actress?
Well, I was born in a little town, not very beautiful town, but it's called Kerava, and everybody here in Finland knows it, and I laugh a bit about it, but I was born there, not in Helsinki. And
is Kerava still Vantaa, by the way?
No, Kerava is not Vantaa. We have our own identity.
Damn it. I'm sorry. It's because I know Kerava only because I used to live in like Tapanila, Tapaninvainio, like that's where I grew up. So I know the trains were always going to Kerava then. So I wasn't sure if it was still Vantaa. Excuse me.
No, but I went to school in Vantaa, so kind of it's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Please continue. Thank you.
I think when I was a little girl, I was very, very shy. I have to say that I'm not sure what I think of saying that somebody is shy, or is that something that somebody says that you are shy or whatever. I don't know, is it okay? But I remember that I didn't like the social things. I liked just being an observer, and I couldn't go to stay overnight to my friends, I didn't have so many friends. I had one friend, he was a boy, and then we climbed up to trees and it was funny or not funny, but I remember that when we were outside and some of his other friends came, I needed to go hiding because he was embarrassed that he was my friend. But I was very shy, let's say that. But in my house at home, I remember I stayed with my father quite a lot. So my father is Russian and my mother is Finnan. And they met in Russia, in Soviet Union, in Leningrad, and fell in love. My mom studied there, and then they moved here in Finland, and I was born here. And my mom, she went very quickly working, and my father stayed with me at home, and he taught me many things about Russian culture, and I watched very many films, and he read me books and everything. And I think he created this kind of atmosphere at home that I could express myself artistically. This is, of course, something that I figured out now, because my father had a video camera and he was always filming me, and now he has digitalized everything and he links, and I watched myself and on these videos this little girl puts costumes, and I loved being in a forest picking mushroom picking, and I led my own mushroom shows. So kind of these two very, in the same person, there were these two sides, very this kind of observer and not social at all, but then in a safe atmosphere, I was very playful. And then my mom wanted to put me in a theater group because she thought that maybe I could get there some friends, or maybe get rid of this shyness. And then I started in a theater group. I was 11 years old, I think. And it was just one day in a week. And I remember that I was always the last one to go on stage. It was horrible. I was so afraid of going there. But I remember already from there this kind of feeling that when I was there on the stage, suddenly I understood the world there. Suddenly it was easier to be myself secretly there. And somehow everything was possible and easy, and I weirdly felt safe there. And then I think also my parents divorced when I was 12 years old, and it was... And also the atmosphere at home was sometimes quite destructive, I would say. But the parents, my mom and dad, they both loved me very much. They just didn't get it along very good. Mm-hmm. I think that the world of acting and kind of saved me. And I started going on many groups. So I was at the same time in three groups, and then I got a little part in one professional play. It was one musical, and then I got part in another leading part in, I was 15, in one TV series, and I fell in love with acting with the camera, and then I thought that this would be my dream, to become an actress. And also this kind of the world of not only acting, but this kind of world of telling stories, that you can kind of help the world by telling something through yourself. And and be secretly yourself, but still your heart kind of comes together with the character, and then it's so kind of it feels right. And this was my dream and also kind of my safe place. And then I decided to apply to a theater academy in Helsinki, and that is one of the two places in Finland that you can get this, that you graduate and become an actor. And then I applied there and I got in. And it was very weird, kind of suddenly. I was 18, and then I was suddenly there, and kind of I knew that I will become an actor. And here I am. Maybe I stop here because I could. It's such a kind of so many things that I could tell. So I will maybe stop here.
Well, maybe this is going to be the first four-hour episode. How long you have time? I know. There's so many things you say. World of telling stories and finding that safe place and the dream in acting that really resonates with you saying. You clearly are amazing at telling stories, by the way. I mean, just it's so effortless to listen to you when you went, I'm just like, I love you more, please more. So it's beautiful. Thank you for saying that. Something that I'm curious, which is kind of coming up. What do you think as of now in your life, where you are right now, you know, you've been doing incredible things. What do you wish you would have known perhaps when you're in the academy or when you just graduated? You know, coming to the, you know, getting like this, you know, maybe your first real, like really gigs and big productions and things like this. What do you wish you would have known maybe that time about acting, about the world, about entertainment? Anything that comes into your mind?
Maybe I would have liked to know that it's okay to kind of to ask help, or in a situation where you struggle to make a decision, or you feel that you have no work, because this our job, the job of a storyteller or an actor, it's a very weird thing, because there is this illusion that some people are working all the time, or somebody maybe not at all, but people are working all the time, and these kind of people, they never struggle or something. So when I myself struggled or had a difficult situations, or so I would have liked to have courage to say that I screwed up, or I lost this job, or I wasn't enough. So this is my feeling. Of course, it's not the reality that somebody is not enough. You are not fit for the role, but these feelings. So I would have liked to have more courage to speak about these things, because now when I'm 33, I myself have the same feelings. So kind of it's not that, oh, you are a grown up or something, that you don't have these feelings, or that the other actors don't have the same kind of feelings. So that is maybe.
So is it kind of like this kind of feelings, like, okay, it's okay to ask for help, for example, which is such a great one to say, I think, because for me, one of my biggest struggles, which I'm quite openly talking about, was always loneliness, because I felt really lonely in the first times when I, you know, found myself alone in New York. And I'm like, okay, this is my dream. I'm coming here, you know, boom. And then suddenly I'm like, it seems like exactly what you just said. Everyone else is working. I'm just waiting for castings. I don't know. No one's talking to me.
But the problem was that I didn't give myself permission to ask for help because I thought I was just supposed to look, you know, good and always confident and make sure that, you know, I have things, my shit together. And I think that is one of the biggest reasons why I do what I do today as well, because I think it's so important to, like you said, hear from other stories of struggles, because we all go through these moments, right? And asking for help is probably the biggest sign of courage, right? Like, this is something that it takes balls to ask for help. But once you have those balls and we can build that courage, it's such an empowering way to be in life. But also, obviously, now we're talking about acting and working in entertainment, to be in a position where you are and to be okay by asking help is so important for our mental sanity. So I wonder whether that is about, can we learn skills? Like, what has been your journey towards asking for help or giving yourself the permission to ask for help? How's the journey been since then and now?
I think, on the other hand, that I have kind of got a bit kind of courage or self, I don't know, something that I've have worked. So I have also kind of these feelings that I'm enough. And I really, because it's very weird, because sometimes I feel that I at the same time, I feel that I'm always enough. I'm the superwoman and I'm the best of the best. And on the other hand, I have this voice that maybe I'm not enough. Am I enough? So to have these experiences that, hey, I was the perfect fit and I didn't try too much and I was kind of just myself. And that was enough. So maybe that, and I don't know why this came to my mind now, but it sounds very hippie kind of, but really this kind of feeling of thankfulness or kiitollisuus, is it?
Gratitude. Yeah.
Gratitude.
Gratefulness. Yeah.
Yeah. Gratitude. And it has really helped me also when in a situation or when I'm very nervous, because I'm always, before a casting or before a first shooting day or something, I'm always nervous, but now I can cope with it and maybe use it. And I'm not trying to push it away or ignore it, but I'm just embracing it. And then I'm thinking that, okay, I'm so nervous and this is my reality now. And when I stop struggling with the reality, then I can embrace it and either let go of it or to change it as in my advantage. In these kind of moments, if I struggle to do either way, then this gratitude helps me. And I try sometimes to find one thing that is really truthful to me that I'm grateful at that moment. It can be that, oh, it's Christmas time and now we have this ugly Finnish Christmas food called rosolli. It's weird salad that I like and I eat it so much and I'm grateful for that, and that is truth to me right now. And I it just for me, and this kind of feeling brings me kind of back to myself, away from the brain that starts to overthink or whatever. This is one thing that I do sometimes.
I love that you said that. Almost two words that come to me as you're describing how you use gratitude. It's like a mindful coping skill. It's almost like, it sounds like you bring yourself to present. You know, hey, brain, don't hijack me. Like, we are here now and my rosolli, I love it and I can't wait to eat it more. I hate rosolli, by the way, so we are not sharing this. I don't like it at all.
Good, more to me.
Exactly. Great way to turn it and reframe it into a more positive way. I love that. You said so beautiful things about that nervousness. So I can imagine, this is just my assumption. You can tell me more whether I'm right or wrong, but When I think about, for example, a role of an actor or actress, when you come into the set and you have this first time, it's just you, like a lot of people around there. There's a lot of, you know, things happening, and you've gotten this role, and you are there, you've gone through the auditions and maybe callbacks, whatever, and you're there, and you have this nervousness that, as you described, and you so beautifully said about embracing it, and now you know how to cope with it. What other maybe unexpected or expected challenges, mental challenges, have you faced in your work as an actress? Are there some other ones where you kind of like that nervousness, like, oh shit, you know, what's happening? Some other ones that you found challenging?
I think I maybe already said about this a bit, or you can maybe smell it, but it was for me unexpected that how hard the situations where I have to choose, make a choice, how hard they can really be when you face a reality that you can't have it all. And in these situations, I tend to ask people that I really trust. I tend to ask their opinion, and sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's maybe not so good for me, because then I have many other opinions and I want to please everybody. So in the this struggle of kind of finding your own voice in these moments have been unexpectedly hard, even though I feel that I have kilometers behind me. And but lately I've been actually thinking of that in these kind of situations, sometimes a bit of aggression helps me, but this is only for me, because in these kind of situations, I tend to kind of, oh my God, oh, if I turn him or her or down, or I can do this project, oh my God, I'm so bad, what will he think, or she, or so. I tend to kind of forget myself and just kind of, or cry, or this. So in these kind of situations, that this little aggression that, hey, this is my life, but fuck everybody else, and that everybody has their own agenda, and so this can help a bit. And I don't know, I've been thinking that it's good that you are replaceable, and on the other hand, you are not replaceable. But if you say no, or you can't do this, or whatever, there's always somebody else. So I don't know what I really think about this thing, but it's either way, it's both sides.
Yeah, yeah. I love what you say. And I have to go back to finding your own voice, because that in this culture, we talk a lot about, you know, authenticity and how important it is. It happens to be one of my core values as well. And I think being real, being original, and finding ways to really practice the things that make us feel original, and so that we can really use our voice. No, it doesn't matter how you want to use it. That's up to you, how you want to use and your voice in this world. But I think that what you were just saying about that aggression, and like showing with your body how you act, like, you know, showing it, I think that is such a powerful thing. Like, it makes me almost think like how much our body has wisdom, and when we can actually use that in moments which might make us feel a little bit, well, self-doubts, insecurities, or, you know, just that nervousness, whatever that is, which is not serving you well, when we can really use that, hey, let's just have a little conversation here. I think that is really powerful what you just said, and something to, I think, to take away as a tool as well for anybody who's suffering from, self-doubts or having those moments of I just don't trust myself enough, and you're going in that downward spiral of thinking like, hey, you're not enough, or whatever that is that mind is telling you. That is such a helpful tool. I love that.
Nice. And also, of course, it doesn't work for everybody or in every situation. Or sometimes it's good to lay down or go to a forest or look at the ocean or water, but sometimes it just doesn't do the trick. So sometimes this kind of a little bit aggression, it helps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point. Thanks for bringing that out. Like no tool fits for all of us. So it's so important to just try, be curious. And then if it doesn't serve you, just let it go and, you know, do something else. I so agree with you. You said amazing things already. Ability to let go. It's okay to ask help. Embracing, you know, those, I don't like to say negative emotions, but kind of those anxious feelings, nervousness that come along. Finding your own voice. Sometimes consulting trusted others. I'm hearing that sometimes, because I know what you're saying about when we need to make a choice and we want to hear other people's opinions. I think there's two ways. One is I go and ask for someone's opinion and I listen to them too much. And then I can go and ask their opinion, take what I need from there, and then still decide myself. And I think that's what you're saying, that if we can find that way, I think that is such a powerful way to use that consulting your trusted others. Because the other way, then you're not loyal to yourself. If you only listen to what other people say, you're not loyal to yourself. So I think that is a constant battle also, how to make better choices by listening to the wiser ones, listening to the trusted ones. I hear that struggle sometimes too. What are some other things that, how have you stayed mentally sane in this industry? I mean, if you think about it as a whole, like what are some of the things that, you know, come for you? Like, what is it? What's your secret?
My husband. I think one thing that occurred to me 3 weeks ago, it was one of my friends and also my colleague. And she said to me, this is only very new for me. So I haven't embraced this yet, but it came to my mind that she said that this, I don't know, I hope that everybody are not feeling this kind of weird feeling or this kind of little empty hole, that when you do your work, what you love, this kind of little empty place gets love. And this is not very, very, of course, it shouldn't be like that. I mean, but I feel for me that sometimes it is like that. And sometimes it's maybe because of my background that it was so important for me. And it really kind of, it helped me to bring out my own voice. So sometimes I struggle to make boundaries and struggle to that who I am outside my work. And so this colleague of mine said that this little hole will never be full from this kind of trying to fill that from your work. So you have to find other ways to fill that hole. And I think that was quite brutal, but really, really good. And really true, and kind of it helped me to, and it was quite nice thing to hear that it won't change that, hey, when I do that or when I achieve that, then I won't have these feelings sometimes that I'm not enough, or so it was very nice kind of, so just a sidetrack. But it comes together with these feelings that really, really try to concentrate on other things that you love doing. because also in not only for us that tell stories through ourselves, but especially for us, because if we don't live and do other things, how can we tell stories about life? So, but for me, spending time with my husband, he's so positive and energetic, and he doesn't stick in the past. He just thrives, and so he's a really sunshine for me. And also nature. Even though I hate exercising, I would rather stay in a sofa all the time. But still, when somebody kicks me, like go outside, so it really is a very nice thing. And also speaking about your feelings, that has also helped me very much.
Wow, thank you. And I have to say, I love what your colleague said. I resonate a lot with that. I often talk about or think about the difference between my talent worth and my self-worth. And to me, what you just described about that love and doing other things outside of the work that we're very passionate about, and I can see it from you as well, that you're super passionate and you love what you do. I mean, of course, but, you know, when I have placed too much, when there's been too much at stake for my own mental well-being, my professional value, my professional worth, and that hole within me is empty, and I try to just fill it up with all the professional qualifications, it sucks. It just feels empty. So I think having people in my life, or having people in anyone's life who has this or sharing these similar thoughts maybe with us, I think it's one of the most powerful things to have. You know, I have to throw a little bit positive psychology, because when we look at the research and the science of well-being as well, there's nothing else that matters to our well-being, happiness, and life satisfaction as much as other people. And in fact, positive psychology has sometimes been called the science of other people matter, because there's nothing more powerful to our well-being, mental well-being, psychological well-being, holistic well-being than other people. So I think having just like being reminded about that, it's not just about reminding, but really feel it. Like, we need to prioritize the people in our lives. No matter what we do at our work, no matter, you know, what we want to achieve, if we don't have other people to share the joys and the suck moments, you know, everything in between, is life worth living? You know, what do we do?
Yeah. Oh, very beautiful what you said. Yeah.
Yeah, but I really truly believe that. And I think what you just said is exactly a great example of that. And I share definitely similar experiences with that. How has your definition of success, has it changed? How do you define success for yourself? Like, what does success mean to you? I think this is one of my favorite questions to ask, because success means different to all of us. But like, do you have a definition for success?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It has really, I think it has changed for me. And I think it also changes during the week. I think success, of course, I would really lie to myself if I wouldn't say that success can mean getting a trophy. Mm-hmm. Or getting a job, something very concrete. And for example, getting a trophy or getting some nomination or something, small or big, it doesn't matter. I think the core thing there is, at least for me, is to get appreciation from the colleagues that you really love and you really highly respect. And it feels kind of very good that they kind of give the same thing to you. So I would lie to myself if I wouldn't say that sometimes at some point it can mean that it shouldn't be the thriving force, but I think it can mean that. And but for me nowadays it means the smaller moments in my work. For example, when we shoot in a location, and that means that we don't have a basis at some, I don't know, post office, and we are all inside, and the makeup artists has their own room and their costume department. So when we shoot in a location, we almost always have different buses, and we have in Finland this one bus driver who has customized, pimped the buses, and they are so nice and they have sofas and everything. And one time, one morning, he had brought for us flowers. And kind of, I don't know why this came to my mind, but kind of this feeling of gratitude that, oh my God, I really, this is my job. I didn't want to wake up this morning, but then I came here and it was so nice. So for example, this little moments.
Oh, I can't stop smiling. It's even hurting my cheek to smile because that story was so beautiful. To notice that, like it's very easy, I think, to also to just say like, hey, well, oh, flowers, nice, thanks. But to actually see that beautiful gesture, I think that's powerful when you can really notice those things on set, when, you know, as you said, super early call times and you've just, you know, like somehow got yourself in there and then there's just flowers. I mean, that's beautiful.
Yes. And also for me, success lately has been in this one project that I recently did. It was one film for a really, really interesting Finnish director. It was a very challenging and interesting part for me, a role for me to play. And for me, success was also there at some point to show or say out loud that I feel insecure. I don't know how to solve this, and then I don't have to solve it. Or also this kind of that letting go that I cannot control the material. I just make material for the editing room, and that was a really, really success for me to embrace these moments that, oh, it didn't go as planned, and oh my God, maybe how is it okay, but still just let go, and the next scene, and then the next scene. That was a success for me.
Oh, thank you for, I almost feel like the circle is closing. You started by saying about the ability to let go, and now you're just describing yourself in that moment. What a beautiful practical moment, and what incredible components on describing what success looks like to you, you know, from those trophy moments and celebrating with people you respect, you know, from those noticing those small flower moments on set, and then, you know, here we are in your ability to let go. Thank you for sharing that. Someone who's listening to this right now, who's as inspired about you as I am, who's potentially wanting to try their wings in the world of acting, someone who is maybe dreaming as much as you are of doing those video films, perhaps on social media at the moment, because we are still, you know, people over 30 are in the analog era, so we didn't have social media that time. So, but the ones who are now making films on TikTok and whatever, using social media channels, because they really want to try their wings in the world of acting. So what can you tell? 2-3 things, tips, tools, ideas, thoughts. What's important to know on that stage?
I think 3 things, just overall things that I think are very important are that, 1, believe your own instinct and your own thing. And also what you really said, it was very, very nice that you can ask help and you can kind of, and nowadays you have so much material and you see so much other people doing. So really getting inspired and then make their your own. So really, really believe your own thing. It, if even when somebody says that, hey, why are you eating the apple that kind of way and showing it, it looks stupid. But if you have this feeling that no, in this show, in my video, I need to eat this apple this way, just eat the apple that way, because nobody else can eat the apple that way as you are eating the apple. So really. And then number two, I would say that you don't have to be ready. There is no such a thing that ready, that or that I have to wait at some point that then can I can do something. But kind of, you don't have to be somehow ready. We aren't ready.
Mm, yeah, kind of like that. You're never ready, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And ask really for help, I would say.
Believe in your own instincts, believe in your own thing, eat the apple, eat the damn apple if you want to eat it. I love that. And then secondly, you don't have to be ready. And then ask for help. Wow, there's so much there. Now I can't wait to ask you a couple of questions in the rapid fire round. So are you ready to move on for some speedy action, Alina?
I am.
Let's do it. All right. Number one, fill in the blank. Right now, I am inspired by
Christmas.
Number two, authenticity means
showing yourself as you are.
Number three, the one thing you do to boost your mental well-being after a long day at work.
Watching Australia's MasterChef.
Number four, your most memorable backstage moment.
It was 3 weeks ago. I had just stayed 5 minutes in a -5 water and said a long monologue in English. And then I went out in a sauna and I had a fake pregnancy belly and I didn't feel my hands. And then like the other crew members came, it was a glass sauna with a glass wall, and then kind of came and hoorayed and Alina, you are so fucking, how could you do that? So that was memorable because it was so concrete and I kind of overdid myself, how to say that.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Oh. Number five, the one song that gets you every time.
Must be a reason why I'm king of my castle.
That is a good one. I need to add on that on my playlist. Okay. Number six, Finnish sauna is
amazing.
It is. Number seven, what are you grateful for in your life?
For ability to read books, my home, and my husband.
Number eight, what are you most proud in your career?
That I have cried in front of the people so many times and still got the guts to face them all over again.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. Thank you for the honesty. Number nine. If you could choose anyone in the history, or in the present? With whom would you want to have a deep and juicy conversation with?
I would really like to speak with Meryl Streep. I really kind of admire her. And it would be nice to hear of her life, of these topics, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would want to join that conversation too. And the last one, number 10. Alena, who are you beyond your labels?
I'm really an amazing wife who doesn't cook but make breakfasts, very nice breakfasts. And I'm a really good sister and a friend that maybe forgets the birthdays, but still remembers them afterwards. And also I'm a good neighbor because I don't party. I just sleep or watch cooking programs.
Alena, I cannot even, I have so many words to describe you. What I'm going to say is that you feel so authentic, so real, and so courageously vulnerable at the same time. And I'm really admiring that. And thank you for bringing your honest words, your wisdom. And I'm sure people will get a lot out of this conversation and having heard your experiences and stories. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Sara.
Thank you for joining me today in Studio Within. Head over to witsara.com/podcast for all the show notes from today's episode. You can also find more information about me and what I do on witsara.com. It means the world to me that you've taken your precious time today and listened to this episode of Studio Within. So, how about we make most out of this? My question to you is, how can you turn an insight you had from today's episode into an action that you can put right into practice in your life today?